open wide. This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
Welcome to Thy Word is a Lamp. This is a family Bible teaching ministry. Today you will be listening to our Bible teacher, Sheila Suarez.
Praise the name of the Lord. It's really a privilege to be back here another Saturday evening to continue in the gospel writings of Matthew. We are in Matthew chapter 3 at this time. Last week we stopped at verse 7. We'll continue from there this week. But people of God, we are gleaning from the word of God, and the Lord wants his truth to be revealed to us. So we will go forth with revelation knowledge. People of God, is only revelation knowledge that will keep us in these times. And remember last week we were reading of John the Baptist, and he was saying that he didn't even know who Jesus was. He grew up with Jesus. They were cousins, but he didn't know him as the Messiah King. He didn't know that he was the Christ. He didn't know until the Father revealed it to him. People of God, we need the Holy Spirit in this time to reveal Jesus to us so that we will not just be going off secondhand information, but we will have revelation knowledge of who Christ is so that we will be able to stand in these evil days, and having done all, we'll still be standing. So we pray as we continue to go through these chapters, people of God, that we will be drawn into a closer relationship with Jesus. So let us pray and begin. Father, we thank you again for today. We thank you for your great love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, you died for us. We thank you, O God, for your grace, which is sufficient for us, your new mercies each day. We thank you that you are God, you reign supreme. O God, you are exalted far above all else. We thank you for this another privilege to bring forth your word. And we pray in the name of Jesus for the hearts of your people to be receptive to your word. O God, we pray that these words will not fall, O God Almighty Lord, on rocky soil or among thorns, but these words will fall on good ground, O God, that they will germinate, bringing forth 100-fold, 60-fold, 30-fold. O God, we pray in the name of Jesus. Father, we pray right now that we will not allow the cares of this world nor the deceitfulness of riches to strangle the word out of our lives. But we pray, O God, that your word, O God, will continue to germinate and bring forth fruits of righteousness. Thank you for your people who take time out to listen today. And we thank you again, Almighty God, for saving the souls of those who are not yet saved. We look to you, O God, for the harvest, O God Almighty Lord, to come in. And we pray, O God Almighty, that you will equip us as laborers to go forth and to reap the harvest. Father, we thank you again for who you are and what you are doing in this season. Thank you for your word, O God, which is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path, as we look to you and give thanks. In Jesus' precious name we pray, and we say amen, amen. Praise God. So we continue in Matthew chapter 3, verse 7. We were looking on the life of John the Baptist and his ministry. He was the forerunner of Jesus Christ. And we see where he heralded the Messiah. He came preaching, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And many people came and were baptized in the river Jordan. And we see, people of God, the people's heart were turning to God. But we see in verse 7 of Matthew chapter 3, the word said, but when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? So when John saw some of these religious leaders come into his baptism, he rebuked them and called them a brood of snakes. They were not up to any good. They were subtle, crafty, and was not concerned about the souls of men, but their own popularity. John said, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? People of God, only true repentance can save us from the wrath of God's judgment. No religious rites or rituals can save us. Only our faith in Jesus Christ. So we have to make the message clear that only faith in Jesus Christ alone can save us from God's judgment. So we see, people of God, we are called to present the gospel of Jesus Christ and to show others the love of Christ. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. So we continue on. In verse 8 of Matthew chapter 3. The word of God said, therefore, bear fruit worthy of repentance. So John the Baptist was still speaking to the religious leaders, the Pharisees and the Sadducees. He said, therefore, bear fruit worthy of repentance. So John was saying to them, let your lifestyle prove that you have truly repented. Let your lifestyle prove that you have truly repented. And verse 9 said, John continued to speak to these religious people. He said, and do not think to say to yourself, we have Abraham as our father. For I say to you that God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones. What was John saying? John was saying to them that they should not hold on to the belief that because they are of the lineage of faithful Abraham, they are God's children and that they are exempt from God's judgment. People of God, many will believe that, okay, my parents are Christians, so I am exempt from God's judgment. Each and every one of us are called to come to Jesus and to have our own personal relationship with him. So John was saying here to these religious leaders who were so caught up in their religious rituals, the word of God says, John said to them, don't think that because Abraham is your father that you are truly exempt from God's judgment. John continued to say, God can transform anyone who might seem to be an outcast to you or a worthless person. God can transform them to become his covenanted children through faith in Jesus Christ. So when John used the word that God can raise up children to Abraham from these stones, he wasn't speaking of the literal stones, people of God, but this was just a wordplay showing that no matter how the things that you see as worthless are the people that you look on as outcasts are worthless, God can call them into his kingdom and transform them into his covenanted children because they have placed their faith in Jesus Christ. So it's all about us putting our faith in Jesus Christ. It's not about us trying to practice the law and trying to do works to please God. Works cannot please God, people of God. God is already pleased with the work that his son has done at the cross. He is already pleased with the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. The ultimate sacrifice was made at the cross for us. And because of that, people of God, God is saying to us today, put your faith in Jesus Christ and not in your works. You continue to do good works, that's good. But your good works will not take you into heaven. It is the work that Christ has done at the cross, the Father is pleased with. And he said, put your faith in my son. Put your faith in Jesus Christ. So John was making it clear to them, don't think that because you are coming from the lineage of faithful Abraham, Abraham believed God. And people of God, his belief in God, it was accounted as righteousness. His faith in God was accounted to him. It was imputed to him. It was placed to his account as a righteous man. So don't believe that because you are children of faithful Abraham, that you are exempt from God's judgment. God is calling everyone everywhere to put their trust in Jesus Christ. Put their trust in Jesus Christ and in him alone. Look at verse 10, people of God. Verse 10 of Matthew chapter 3. And John continues to speak. John the Baptist continued to speak. And even now the axe is laid to the root of the tree. Even now the axe is laid to the root of the tree. The word of God says, therefore every tree which does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. People of God, the axe is now laid to the root of the tree. The truth has come. Christ has come. The truth has come to expose the hearts of men who have become hardened through religion. They have become hardened through religion. They think that just by trying to live the law, they could become righteous. just by holding on to the old covenant of the law, they could become righteous. But Christ has now come with the new covenant, to start the new covenant, the new covenant that is in his blood. So they think that their lifestyle of doing all these religious rites would take them in. But no, the word is saying here, the truth has come. The axe is now laid to the root of the tree, people of God. So they were relying upon the law to save them. But the word of God tells us what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh. God sent his only son in the form of sinful flesh and condemned sin in the flesh. So people of God, is showing us the law points out our sin, but the law was not in a position to help us to live a sinless life. But the Holy Spirit of God, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, has made us free from the law of sin and death. So the law of the Spirit, the rule of the Spirit in our lives, help us to live that godly life, bringing honor to the name of Jesus Christ. Help us to put our faith in the work that Christ has done at the cross, not in our own works, but in the work that Christ has done at the cross. So because of this, everyone who does not bear fruit of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ will be cut off and thrown into everlasting fire, everlasting punishment, eternal separation from the God the Father. So we have to come to understand these words, even as John pointed out to the religious leaders, that the truth has come to expose your hearts. Are you truly surrendered to God? Or are you trying to live a life of religion? Religion won't take us anywhere, people of God. Religion is us trying to work to please God. But God has already come down and worked so that now we can have life eternal through Jesus Christ. The word of God tells us God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. So we are reconciled when we put our faith in Jesus Christ, the Son. Look at verse 11 of Matthew chapter 3. The word said, I indeed baptize you with water. John was speaking. I baptize with water. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. So my baptism is unto repentance. I'm here to herald in the Messiah. I'm here to announce that the Messiah is coming. But I'm here to announce that you must turn from your sinful way. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. Turn from your sin and turn to God. But he who is coming after me, John says, he who is coming after me, speaking of Christ the Messiah, the anointed one, he's mightier than I, whose sandals I'm not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. So John was saying that he was baptizing with water, a physical declaration of the individual that they have now put away the old lifestyle of sin and have turned to God. But there was one coming after him, he said, who is greater than him, whose sandals he is not worthy to carry. He said, he is the one who will baptize you or immerse you in the Spirit to give you that fervent passion to become true witnesses for Christ, to purify your hearts and keep you consistent in your walk with him. People of God, is the baptism of the Holy Spirit that we need. The baptism of the Holy Spirit to purify us and to bring us to that place of complete surrender to Jesus Christ. Bring us to that place of being fervent in spirit, to serve with fervency in spirit. Many of us have become lukewarm, but God is calling us to be filled up with fire, to be filled up with the Holy Spirit, to walk in purity of heart and mind, to be fervent in spirit, to be passionate for the name of Jesus Christ, to be true witnesses for Christ Jesus. Without the Holy Spirit, we cannot become witnesses We need the Holy Spirit who makes us witnesses for Christ. We become witnesses for Christ. People of God, we are not called to do witnessing. We are called to become witnesses for Christ. And it's only through the Holy Spirit. Jesus told his disciples to tarry in Jerusalem until they are endued with power from on high. Stay in Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit come upon you. The Holy Spirit has to come upon us, people of God. We have to be immersed in him. And Jesus has come to immerse us in his Spirit so that we can go forth in power, truly living the Christian life, representing him well through the power of the Spirit working in us. People of God, when we are unable, the Holy Spirit is able. So he enables us when we are unable. So we need the Holy Spirit power in our lives to keep us fervent in spirit, to keep us shining, to keep us aglow for Jesus every step of the journey. Christ in us, the hope of glory. It's the Holy Spirit in us, people of God, who shows forth the glory of Jesus Christ. He comes to glorify Jesus. So when we are immersed in him, we truly will bring glory and honor to the name of Jesus. Look on verse 12. Look on verse 12 of Matthew chapter 3. John the Baptist continue here to speak. He was speaking at this time to the Pharisees. They came to spy out what was going on. They did not come to repent and to be baptized of John. No, they thought they had it together. They did not need to. But John was there continuing his discourse. Look at verse 12. John the Baptist spoke. He said, his winnowing, speaking of Christ, his winnowing fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clean out his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. John was saying the time of separation has come or is coming. The winnowing fan is used in the wheat harvest to blow out the chaff, and the good grains of wheat would remain and stored in the barn. So John was assuring this. Jesus knows that those that belong to him. Jesus knows those that belong to him, but those that are not are like the chaff that will be burnt up in unquenchable fire. So the time of separation is coming, children of God. John made it so clear here, showing us. And at that time, those who were listening could understand because they were used to the winnowing fan being used in the wheat harvest. So they understood clearly the message that John was saying here. The time of separation is coming. The time of separation is coming. Matthew 13 verse 30 tells us, let the wheat and tares grow together until the time of harvest. People of God, let us make sure that we have the Holy Spirit and we are surrendered to him. We are yielded to him and he's working through us. Let us go forth in the power of the Spirit to do the work of the Lord, to be the witnesses that he has called us to be. But let us not be like the scribes and Pharisees who thought they had it all together. They thought they were doing a great work. But people of God, they were just caught up in their religious rituals and not in a relationship with God the Father. But God is calling us, each and every individual who is in the reach of my voice at this time, who is hearing this broadcast, will know that God is calling each and every one of us into a personal relationship with him. Because the day of reckoning is coming. The day of time of separation is coming, when the Lord Jesus Christ will separate those that are his from those that are not his. Jesus knows those that belong to him, but those that are not his are like the chaff that will be burnt up in unquenchable fire. Let us not be the chaff, but let us be that wheat, people of God, that will be gathered in Jesus' barn. Let us be the people who are set apart for his glory and for his praise. Look at verse 13 of Matthew chapter 3. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized of him. Jesus came to be baptized of John. Look at verse 14. And John tried to prevent him. John tried to prevent Jesus, saying, I need to be baptized by you. And are you coming to me? John was saying, you are mightier, you are greater than I. You are the Messiah. I need to be baptized of you. But look on verse 15 what Jesus said. But Jesus answered and said to him, permit it to be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he allowed him. So Jesus, who is fully God and fully man, still had to fulfill all that God the Father requires of him. He was demonstrating perfect obedience to the work of the Father, knowing that both he and John were fulfilling God's righteous requirement. So Jesus' baptism was signifying Jesus' death, his resurrection, and the new covenant which would be in effect. This was what Jesus' baptism was signifying, Jesus' death and resurrection, and the new covenant which would be in effect. And when we look, people of God, in Jeremiah 31, 31 through 34, it tells us, children of God, of God promised to his people the new covenant that would come. And remember, people of God, there were no prophetic voice for over 400 years until John the Baptist came. And he came as a voice in the wilderness. He came as that voice in that desolate place, in that place where there was no prophetic voice. He was the one crying out, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his path in the desert. People of God, John the Baptist came to herald in the Messiah. And he also came, people of God, to be the one who, with the Messiah, would bring in that new covenant. So we see, people of God, he had to partner with Jesus. He didn't even want to baptize him, but he said, I have to be a part of this. I have to be a part of this. This is the Messiah who came to save all of humanity. I have to be a part of it. I have to fulfill. Jesus said, let us fulfill it all. All righteousness. Then he allowed him. So John, along with Jesus, were fully fulfilling God's righteous requirement. So let us look at Jeremiah 31. 31 through 34, the word of God says, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the days that I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant which they broke, though I was a husband to them, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No more shall every man teach his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity and their sin I will remember no more. I will forgive their iniquity and their sin. I will remember no more. So God has come to write his laws on the hearts of men. And people of God, we have to understand that through the Holy Spirit, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. The law of the sin and death is the Mosaic law that was given to the children of Israel, that they could not keep. They could not keep. No man could keep the law perfectly. But Jesus Christ, the perfect God-man, came and lived the law perfectly, people of God. So he fulfilled the righteous requirement of the law. And each of us, you and I, are called to put our trust in the righteous one who lived the law perfectly. So we see, people of God, the new covenant that would come through Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ has come to fulfill all the righteous requirement of the law. He did that so well. And he was saying to John at this time, it is fitting for us also to fulfill all righteousness. Then he allowed him. Then he allowed him to baptize him. The people of God, we have to come to understand these things and understand that Jesus has come to fulfill the law and come to bring in the new covenant, The old covenant has to vanish away so the new can be in effect. And the new covenant is now in effect, people of God. The new covenant is through the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. He sacrificed his life on the cross for us. And because of his sacrifice, you and I can have life and have it more abundantly. But we have to first place our faith, our trust in Jesus Christ, the Son. We have to know that he is the Son of God and he became the sacrificial lamb for us. John the Baptist saw him and cried, "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." Look at verse 16 of Matthew chapter 3. So when he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God like a dove alighting upon him. So we see, people of God, the Spirit of God symbolizing the dove here came upon Jesus Christ after his baptism. And the lesson we can learn from the symbolism of the Holy Spirit is that he's nurturing the figure of motherhood. He's nurturing. He is our peace. He reconciles, bring reconciliation to God's people. It symbolizes purity. It symbolizes gentleness. It symbolizes love. So we see when the Holy Spirit descend on him like a dove, it is showing all the qualities of the Holy Spirit and of Jesus. The nurturing qualities, the peace that he brings, the purity, the gentleness, the love, all of those are symbolized in the dove. And the Holy Spirit is telling us today that he's here to nurture us, to bring us into that peace in Christ Jesus, that purity, that gentleness, and to show us that love. And only he can love through us and bring the love of Christ to each and every one of those that we come in contact with. So we pray that the Holy Spirit will continuously love through us and show us the way of Christ. And look at verse 17, the last verse in chapter 3 of Matthew. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." So the Father spoke from heaven, affirming his beloved Son, Jesus Christ. His great pleasure was in the beloved Son who voluntarily came to fallen earth to redeem sinful humanity. The Father is well pleased with the Son and the accomplishment he attained at the cross for us. Fallen humanity can be reconciled to God the Father by putting their faith in Jesus Christ, the Son. God bless you all. This evening we'll stop here. And next week, God's willing, we'll come back and we will start from verse 17 and then we go on to Matthew chapter 4. God bless you. Let us pray. Father, we thank you again for your word to us this evening. We thank you, oh God, that you are calling us to that place, oh God, of being completely immersed in you. Father, we thank you that you sent Jesus to die on the cross for us. And we thank you that you never leave us as orphans, but you have sent the blessed Holy Spirit to be with us and in us. So we give you thanks, we give you praise, and we give you glory for all that you have done and all that you are doing as we continue to look to you by faith and give you thanks. And we pray in the name of Jesus. And we say amen. Amen. God bless you all. Thank you all for listening. Continue to study the word of God and continue to read and ask the Lord to illuminate his word to you. God bless you all. Have a wonderful, wonderful weekend. Amen and amen. Praise God.
Thank you very much for listening to our Family Bible Teaching Ministry. Let's hope you have been blessed by this wonderful word. Thy word is a lamp. You can reach us at 561-667-8477. 561-667-8477. Join us again next week at the same time. Thy word is a lamp.
Experience resurrection life.
The kingdom of God.